Sea.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
Chris is busy consolidating 24 questions from one of our loyal listeners. This sets a record. Maybe we should have a contest. Who can ask the most questions? We send him a T-shirt or something.
Wait a minute, Gene. If it's my job to read the questions, please don't do that.
Actually, what we want to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to give Chris more work to do. Each question can be no shorter than 500 words.
Stop. Well, let me go beyond. He has a lot of questions about the actual machinations of the government's response to crash retrieval, you know, reports and that sort of thing. Let's kind of scoot forward here a little bit. And just a couple of general questions. What case do you think has the best evidence of proof in terms of a crash retrieval, let's say, besides Roswell?
Well, Roswell would be number one. I think Kecksburg is pretty good case. I think the Virginia case is pretty good.
What are the indications on Kecksburg? Was it some sort of Soviet satellite that crashed? Was it something ET?
No, it wasn't Soviet. I argued with James Oberg just after, you know, in the 1990s about that whole thing. And I actually got, Leslie Kane got the same material from the expert in NASA, the guy who's in charge of all reentering, I think his name was Johnson, all the stuff that reenters the Earth's atmosphere. This guy's the expert on it. And he stated absolutely was not a Soviet spacecraft. It had come in the morning and it had come in over Canada, and stated in writing that there was no way this was any sort of piece of reentering space debris. So it wasn't that. We basically just have this description that it was some object that had this sort of writing on the side of it, and the witnesses all described it being taken to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and this building sort of being built around it. Again, it's like once they seal it off, that's why I think the government has completely got this under control, that if you, unless you've got a lot of stuff within the first 24 hours, they seal it off, and it's gone forever.
Boy, yeah, they put the lid down on events, especially when it deals with our own technology. But obviously, sure. if this is the highest classified area,
because
it
does cross over. I mean, these guys are experts at recovering. I mean, you've read these stories about the broken arrows and all this kind of stuff, and years later, all these books are coming out now about all these nuclear accidents where planes crashed and they got in secretly and removed the bombs and all this kind of stuff. That they work not just UFOs; they do the nuclear stuff, recovering that kind of stuff, plane crashes. There's even this story again, it's sort of an example of how you twist the story. There's a story we tell in the book about this UFO cover-up live, 1988, which I say is an extremely significant dump of material by the CIA into the public. In that thing, they describe the remote viewing program. If you look at the flow chart in 1988, on this TV show, they show this flow chart, which has the DIA remote viewing program on the flow chart. It is not declassified till 1995. They also have Area 51 on that flow chart, which would not become public until Lazar went public the year after that. So on this thing, you have this sort of material that's being released, and the remote viewing program is very interesting in that Jimmy Carter talked about it. Now, a lot of people will say, well, because we don't have the documents, like the crash and the hard evidence, it means nothing happened. But what I always point out is the fact that we basically know that the remote viewing program took place, and there's 80,000 documents, but there is nothing in the White House. If you go to the White House files to Jimmy Carter or Reagan or any of these, you will not find the word remote viewing. You will not find any documents.
Well, interesting. I didn't know that.
And yet you get Jimmy Carter, if you look in his last book, the White House diary or whatever he called it, his diary, he actually talks about being briefed by Stansfield Turner on a crash in Northern Africa. And he talks about the fact that there's this psychic, he calls it a psychic, is brought in, and this woman identifies, and he calls it a two-engine plane. He said the American intelligence officials were trying to recover this thing, and they found the thing according to what the psychic had told him. And Jimmy Carter said this was the most dramatic thing that he'd seen in his presidency. He said it was hard to believe, but the facts were undeniable. That's what he said.
We just had Russell Targon a couple of weeks ago, and he gave us a nice little recounting of that particular incident. Yeah.
And yet Jimmy Carter, here's how you change the facts. Jimmy Carter calls it a two-engine plane. And Targ, if you had him on, he probably said it was a Tu-22 Tupolev supersonic bomber that the Russians had converted into an intelligence platform. And they were flying it, and this intelligence plane had gone down in northern Africa, and that's why the intelligence was scrambling to get it before the Russians got it. So when you hear the remote viewing people are telling, but when Jimmy Carter tells the story, he said it was an American two-engine plane. So that's why I'm saying that's how they changed the story. You fictionalize the story, you put Jimmy Carter puts the story out, but when you get into the background, the story is completely different. It's something completely different happened. The basic story is true, but all the facts are changed to protect the innocent.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah.
And that's what I say is going on. And in the book, we make this case, and I say it's really dramatic, that if you take a look at the Emmenegger documentary in the 1970s, you take a look at that UFO cover-up live in the 1980s, if you look at the documents that have been dumped, this dumping of this core story into the UFO community, and we run around, we can't confirm anything, we tell the story, it becomes basically our worldview. And you get a situation where now vast majority of people believe there's life in outer space, 48% of people believe that UFOs are extraterrestrial type stuff. And
Grant, let me just stop you on the latter one. The last survey I heard about the number of Americans who believe in UFO reality, that they're spaceships, whatever, it was down to about a third of the people. That was the one that was taken by the people who produced the UFO, Chasing UFOs TV series last year. They commissioned a new survey. And I know if you go back to the earlier surveys in the early 2000s, in the 1980s and 1990s, it was roughly half.
Okay, if you take a look at that, and you take a look at Dr. Victor Stanger, who is sort of that one of the high priests of the New Atheist Movement, he's very upset about the fact that we teach the random theory of evolution in school, and only 16% of people in the United States believe it, according to him. And he's very upset. He wants to write a book that says that there is no God and evolution, and you can't say there's evolution but still a God. You have one or the other. So this random theory of evolution has got 16%. We're still doing pretty good, whether it's 33 or 48. The idea is getting out there.
I like your way of thinking. It's three steps forward, two steps back, always.
Yeah. If you go to my website, I have an article in my article section, which is called The 64 Reasons Why They've Decided Not to Tell You the Truth. And what I say is there is actual, if you look at it the other side, and if you're the president, and I look at why did Jimmy Carter flip, why did Gerald Ford flip, what did they tell him when he got into the White House that made him change teams and decide we're going to cover this thing up? You look at it, and there is actually fairly good reasons why they're covering the thing up. That's why, they can't have people not knowing anything. If this thing does get out of control and there is a crash they can't control, or there's a document they can't control, they've got to be able to have this sort of thing. Well, we were saying this all along. You can't be stuck with total denial.
Right. It's like venting pressure out of a steam, a pressure cooker. It's like you got to like lift the lid off every now and then to let out some of the steam and decrease the pressure. Well, that leads me to a really good question from Aldo Poe. Again, another poster at forum.theparacast.com. Is there any chance of a disclosure? And if so, will it be spoon-fed gently or all at once? We've been talking about a gradual disclosure process that appears to be taking place here. And is there any truth to the idea that one of the clandestine government agencies has given a script to Hollywood to get us used to the idea, which leads us into a whole other realm of thinking? But what are your feelings about disclosure? I get a sense that you think that we're being fed these like bits of fictionalized facts, and they're constantly taking the pressure off the subject. Other countries are releasing data, possibly to take pressure off the United States. Where do you come down on the whole disclosure question?
I don't think there's going to be a clean disclosure, because you have to protect the classified material. You're still working on the sort of the military hardware, the weapon stuff, all the applied technology that's involved. And that's what they have to protect. So they're not going to sort of drop that. The second reason I don't think it's going to be disclosure is because you can't have the president put in a position where he doesn't have the answers. The president is the guy who knows everything. The economy is under control. We have everything's going great. And if you have an open, complete disclosure, you're going to have the president standing up there, and within 5 minutes, somebody's going to ask him the question, Mr. President, you're constitutionally responsible for the protection of the American people. It's been estimated that millions of people have been abducted by these aliens. What are you doing to stop it? And the president has no idea.
We can't answer that question with the president's going to say, because we have to do this break. Grant Cameron joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
We've lived in this neighborhood for years. We have an alarm system and all of our doors have deadbolts. They kicked in our door and were in and out of our house in about 5 minutes. The police arrived in about 20 minutes, but they were long gone with our TV, jewelry, and my guns. I kept thinking, what if my family had been home? The police officer said that more than 85% of break-ins are through a door, and that deadbolts alone don't stop intruders. The officer told me to go to EasyArmor.net if we wanted something that would actually stop an intruder. EasyArmor reinforces all of the weak points on your doors and is guaranteed to prevent kick-ins. I was surprised at how little EasyArmor costs, and I installed EasyArmor in about 30 minutes.
Visit EasyArmor.net. That's the letters EasyArmor.net. Or call 888-58-ARMOR. That's 888-582-7667. EasyArmor.net. Ultimate door security made easy.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables, and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
All right, Grant, so you're saying the president probably would say he has no idea if asked. But
he
then
can't.
Why even assume? Why assume that disclosure, if it happens, or a forced disclosure, would originate from the United States and not in other countries?
Can you do a question? I'm not understanding the question.
Well, right. Nobody would believe it, Gene.
Well, that's part of it, too. But if we had forced disclosure, we always think the president of the United States gets out and he's going to reveal this information. But why assume it has to come from the United States? Why not some other country that has compelling evidence and feels the need at this point to make that revelation.
Well, like the rumors that the Chinese are going to divulge that there's structures on the backside of the moon.
Okay. If you ever interview Scott Jones, you ask him about talking to the Chinese. Scott Jones was representative. He was worked for Claiborne Pell. He did mostly parapsychology stuff because Claiborne Pell really wasn't that interested in UFOs, but he did UFOs, parapsychology type stuff, reporting to Claiborne Pell, and he would go around the world. He went to the Russians. He went to the Chinese. And Scott told me that one of the problems was when he was there is everybody thought he was working on behalf of the government, that he spoke for the government. And because that's the way their system works. If you're from their government, there's only one voice. And he just said, no, I'm just working for a senator. I'm really not. And nobody would really believe him. He asked the Chinese, he said, you know, why don't you disclose? And I believe, don't quote me, but I believe Scott was told, if and when the Americans disclose, we will be a close second. So it seems to hinge on the United States. People will say that other governments are disclosing, but they're not disclosing. There's always been the story about the Canadians, the British. They're not. They're releasing sighting files. They're releasing the garbage.
They're taking the pressure off the United States, basically.
Would you assume kind of agreement, maybe in the UN, not to disclose this, except
through
the U.S.?
The UN. They blocked it in the UN with the Americans. If you go through the Eric Gehry story, where Gehry was trying to get it, you get all this, I haven't read it for a number of years, but you get all this stuff about the Americans blocking the vote at the UN to get this outer space committee that Eric Gehry wanted. It was the Americans that were behind that. So, yeah, I'm sure the Americans have deals. When we asked Dr. Eric Walker, at one point we were asking him about, is there still 12 people on MJ-12? Is it all Americans? We were asking all that, and he basically seemed to confirm that it was more than 12, and it wasn't all Americans. So there seems to be some sort of international agreement to keep the lid on this thing. And as to the material.
What about, wasn't the UN involved in the Grenada conference that helped spearhead with Hynek, I think, back in the 70s? Wasn't that under some sort of UN auspices?
Yeah, but it wasn't an official thing. The main thing that the Americans were blocking was the vote, that they wanted to set up a committee.
Right. I was going to point out that the president of Grenada, who was very progressive, at the time, was the one that agreed to host this. And then I think a short time later,
he was at the UN when he got overthrown. He was actually.
And then he was overthrown, right?
Yeah, he was so.
Well, doesn't that answer the question of why he was overthrown?
Yeah, so, it's a possibility. I mean, there's a lot of movements to keep this off any official agenda. And when it comes to other documents in other countries, I think that they're not releasing them to take pressure off the Americans. I'm thinking they're releasing them to get themselves out. Like the British, for example, say we're going to release this because there's nothing to it. And we're getting out of the program. You can't say we're not interested in UFOs and we're not studying UFOs if it's known that you've got documents. So what they're doing is they're taking the same position as the Americans did in 1969, is you dump all the files, all the sighting files. Then you take the position that we're not really involved. There's no extraterrestrials visiting. There's no hard evidence. And then you can research in secret, especially today with computers. You don't need to have people on the ground. You can basically, as Ronald Pendolfi, the top scientist of the CIA said, we cannot control the phenomena, so we watch the people in the field. We watch the researchers, what's happening with them. And they're basically just watching us because they really don't have any control over the phenomena. That's what I think is very easy to research now. If you want to know about
abductions. Sounds like a feedback loop to me.
Yeah, if you want to know abductions, you can tap into 5 computers. You'll know all the latest abduction material that's out there, who's being investigated, all the sighting stuff. That's why I say to UFO people, I got into the consciousness thing, and I said that when it comes down to sighting files, we're just basically doing the government's job for them, and sightings don't get you anywhere. We've run that course 40 years ago. We're not learning anything from sightings. You got to get off sightings and get into consciousness. But in terms of sightings, basically, we're just filing it for them. They can plug into your computer, and nothing's secret, and you're just working for the government.
Well, that leads me to a whole list of other questions that I'm going to try to synopsize here from Blabby Boy, and I guess we know why he calls himself that now. and this gets into the whole idea of informants, and we kind of touched on this a little bit with your information about George Knapp and how he had just these wonderful sources of information that came forward about Area 51 before he broke the story. But do you get the impression that you, in one sense, but that investigators, I think in general, are just pawns in a bigger game of disclosure?
Absolutely.
And how do you verify that informants are who they say they are without obviously, I'm putting a little addendum here without spending copious amounts of time and money to research them. And have you ever been duped by an informant that you know of? And what did you learn from that duping process, if anything?
Very good question. Let me sort of point this out. I have never, and George Knapp confirms he has never been contacted by an inside government source. I'm kind of a special case because I'm actually not an American. So if you want to be releasing classified material to a non-American, you're really in trouble. I have never been contacted. George Knapp has never been contacted by an inside whistleblower, which begs the question. Len Stringfield, now I'm not sure whether it was 200 or 300. I have never been contacted by anybody who said that they were involved in an autopsy, in a crash where they had bodies, this sort of stuff, directly someone contacting me. And yet you take a look at Len Stringfield had, and I'm not sure if it's 200 or 300 people came to him. So why does he have 200 to 300 coming to him and I've got nobody? It's almost as if they're sending all the people to Len Stringfield. Another one is Kerry Cassidy. I have never had a whistleblower come to me. Kerry Cassidy's got like 100, 200, whatever she's got. So why are all the whistleblowers going to her? Well, why are all the whistleblowers going to her? Why are all the autopsy people going to Len Stringfield? It's like they're feeding this story. It's the same story that I've been through before.
Meme amplifiers, basically, is what you're saying, and they're being fed.
Yeah, so and like a lot of people say, well, you have to vet your stuff and you've got to have it from more than one source. That means nothing because, I mean, so you get five different government people. You say, okay, you go and tell them this story, you go tell them this story. The guy's got five different people coming from five different agencies telling the same stories. And he said, look, I've got it all confirmed. I've got five different witnesses and they're all coming from the same source. So it's a vicious sort of circle, but it does indicate when you take a look at Len Stringfield and you look at the Kerry Cassidy that this is some sort of controlled thing that they are actually feeding certain people a story that they want out.
Aside from Len Stringfield is concerned, I knew him slightly back in the 70s and had some pleasant conversations with him and talked about his research.
He's really a sweet guy, Gene.
Yeah, really nice guy, really nice guy. As far as Kerry Cassidy is concerned, well, I don't take Project Serpo seriously. I don't take much of anything she does seriously. But that's just me, I guess.
Okay, let me make a point
Okay, you can answer the question on the other side. Okay,
all right. Good. This is important.
Okay, all right. We have Grant Cameron, who with Scott Crane wrote UFOs, Area 51, and Government Informants. I sense he's champing at the bit to respond to what I said. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
You've heard about our MRE smorgasbord. Now, Long Life Food Depot introduces the most unique, safe, and longest-lasting way to stash emergency food, the Eat Pod. Most survival food products recommend an ideal storage environment, including low temps, low moisture, and low oxygen. If you're storing in a basement, too humid. Garages and attics, too hot. But the waterproof, double-walled, high-density polyethylene patent-pending Eat Pod is a unique roll-away food bunker that creates the perfect condition. locations, can be buried up to 30 feet, and can keep your survival food supply safe, secure, dry, and virtually undetectable for 25 years or more. Get full details on the Eat Pod at eatpod.com, spelled EATPOD.com, or call 800-601-2833. That's 800-601-2833. The Eat Pod from Long Life Food Depot. Since 1983, sending real food to your real future.
Is there such a thing as gluten-free emergency kits?
Yes. And for celiacs, there is no other than glutenfreeemergencykits.com. If you or a loved one has celiac disease, you need a gluten-free emergency kit to survive. Our kits are natural, non-GMO, low-sodium, low-cholesterol, soy-free, contain no artificial colors or MSG, and carry the Celiac Spruce Seal of Approval. Now get our March Grab and Go Bucket Special for only $29.99 at glutenfreeemergencykits.com. Glutenfreeemergencykits.com. Better foods, better living.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
You see, now listeners have come to digest what I said. I don't take Carrie Cassidy too seriously, I think partly because my interactions with her and, of course, the Project Serpo thing. But obviously you disagree, right, Grant Cameron?
Right. I thought Project Serpo was the stupidest thing I'd ever read. I gave a lecture at Congress. This is a number of years ago.
Okay, yeah, let me tell you something. It read to me as if it was written by a teenager describing a UFO kind of experience or this foreign exchange program with ET and this dwelling on bathroom movements and stuff like that. I thought, these are 11-year-old kids writing this stuff.
Exactly. So we talked about, at the beginning of the show, we talked about disinformation. You're familiar with the Pilkington's book. What's it called?
Name escapes me.
Mirage Man. Okay, so he writes the book, and the basic premise of the book is this is all disinformation. It's just, you know, government games and this sort of stuff. In the interview, I think it's about page 235, you go there, and he interviews Dr. Kit Green, who was, before Ronald Pendolfi, the analyst at the CIA who was rumored to be the guy in control of the UFO files. He was there when the CIA...
Well,
when
do you know what he actually does? He's a medical doctor. You know what his specialty is?
He's a neurosurgeon.
And yeah, he helps design psychologically active psychotronic warfare platforms, based on my limited knowledge.
Okay. So in this interview, I believe it's Pilkington's interviewing him, and he's in Detroit, and he starts talking about this whole thing, and he talks about Serpo, and Kit Green says, no, you don't throw it out. And I'm going, what the heck? And you read the interview. I won't try to paraphrase it, but basically he's saying, no, don't discount it, and basically indicated that there was classified material in there, that there's some truth in it. It's the same thing. You've got the truth. It's surrounded by all this garbage stuff type stuff. Another thing happened was I was in contact indirectly with Hal Puthoff from time to time and Eric Davis, who works for him. And at one point, Hal contacted me, very rarely contacts me, and he asked me about the Serpo thing. And I really said, well, it's garbage. And then I heard that he was watching it, that Eric Davis was saying, oh, you know, he's reading this stuff, and why is he wasting his time on this? And I'm thinking, why would Hal Putoff be reading this stuff? And why would Kit Green be taking this stuff seriously? Because they have this sort of background where they realize there's some classified material in here, and there's something to it. And in the book, when you read the Mirage Men book, the guy says he actually starts to sweat. He can't believe that Kit Green's actually saying this kind of stuff, that he's sort of discounting this. And Kit Green actually describes in there, and we quote it a couple of times in the book, where Kit Green says, what would you do if you were facing this problem? Sort of, if you were the government, what would you do? Well, you put out all these crazy stories about aliens eating your kids and all this kind of stuff. And then when the story breaks, the whole story then comes down to, it's just ETs visiting. And everybody goes, what, they're not eating our kids? No, it's just ETs. Oh, what's so big about that? And he's talking about this acclimatization thing. And it's in the book. It's in Pilkington's book. And you can see Kit Green actually describes this hypothetical thing of the possibility that we are being desensitized to what's actually going on. And he's a high-level guy. And Kit Green is not like, if you take Pandolfi, I mean, he's always goofing around or whatever, or people. Kit Green is always like a straight shooter. He says, if it's classified, he doesn't talk about it. But he's not noted for putting out BS.
No. Or the one of the other enigmatic figures, I think, in this particular circle is Dan Smith, who's somebody that's always intrigued me. He's kind of like a guy that comes across kind of goofy and new-agey, but he knows too many of the right, wrong people and comes up with too much of the weirdest sounding stuff that may be plausible. So,
and that's my impression of what goes on. Same as with Lazar, you send it to John Lear, who nobody's going to believe, and Pandolfi, and I've interviewed Dan Smith a number of times. I read his stuff. Everything. I parsed every word that he says. He was Ronald Pandolfi's best man at his recent wedding. He's had over 1,000 conversations with Ronald Pandolfi. If you're Ronald Pandolfi and you want something out, you give it to Dan Smith. Because everybody's going to say, oh, Dan Smith, the guy gets kicked off boards, he's crazy guy, and nobody's going to believe him. Same as nobody's going to believe John Lear. So
how about Gordon Novel? There's one for you. There's a name for you. A good buddy of all these before-mentioned names.
Yeah, and I talk about in the book, I have the POTUS briefing thing where he's running around. He does an interview with New Realities with Alan Steinfeld, and in there he holds up this script that he has that he's trying to get to Steven Spielberg.
Well, he actually got development money, I think, to develop it, didn't he?
I'm not sure where he got the development money, but I know he held this script up, and I managed to get a copy of the script. And the key is, it's a proposal for a script to Steven Spielberg. And if you listen to Dan Smith says that Ronald Pandolfi met with Spielberg twice. So you take that, and you can sort of, you know, believe it, disbelieve it, whatever you want. So the whole thing was, he has this thing on there, and I say, everybody's sort of now talking about it's a hoax government document. Nobody said it was a government document. All it is a script that Gordon Novell was trying to get through, and it was called POTUS Briefing. And on the front cover, and when you see this interview, he gets really upset. He says, look at this. I've got the CIA symbol. I've got the White House symbol on here, and they're backing this, and he's got Dr. Ronald Pandolfi's name on it. And that was, to me, the most significant thing. He's running around on interviews. He's talking about this, and it's got Pandolfi, who's the top scientist at the CIA, got his name on the front of a disclosure proposal movie to Steven Spielberg. To me, you have to have some sort of government authorization for him to be running around. There's no way they're going to let Novell run around with this script, which I've now recovered, which was basically written by Dolan and Jim Mars, who basically helped him write the thing. And then you get
I had no idea. Interesting.
Yeah, and then the other thing was,
yeah, Paracast that, listeners, somebody take a note of that one.
And the other thing that interested me that sort of it showed that there was cooperation from Pandolfi at the CIA was I'm good friends with Bob Emeniger. Everybody knows that. And I see him quite often. I go down there every year, every second year. And I'm talking to him. And all of a sudden he says to me, I got a phone call from Ron Pandolfi. And I said, you got a phone call from Ron Pandolfi? Why would this guy at the CIA be phoning you? You're not in UFOs. You haven't been in UFOs for years. And he said, it had to do with Gordon Novell. And Gordon Novell had this thing, alien reproduction vehicle thing, and I had the diagrams, and he wanted me to do some PR for him, and I sort of agreed to this, and I think it's all nonsense.
Well, Grant, let's go ahead and kind of backtrack a little bit here, and I should have qualified the name Gordon Novell, or Novel as I call him, because everything he does seems like it's fiction. I mean, this is one of the more enigmatic figures that's been skirting around the shadows of ufology and conspiracy circles for years, and he died, I think, about a year ago.
Yeah.
But very good friends with Hal Puthoff and Ron Pandolfi. But he's been rumored as one of the shooters at the JFK assassination. If you talk to someone like Ken Thomas from Steam Shovel Press, he has a dossier on Gordon Novell that'll blow your mind. I remember seeing the sightings program about the Black Forest Stan Lee hauntings and E.T. presence back in the mid-90s. And this was a big case for a while in Colorado. And at one point, Stan went out because he saw a prowler, and he claims it was Gordon Novell who was up his telephone pole doing something to his telephone lines.
Yeah,
I mean, the guy got around. What do you think of characters like this?
That's the point. They're the characters. That's who you release the stuff to, because nobody's going to take them seriously. You go to people like Lazar. You go to Dan Smith. You go to Novell. If you want something important, because everybody's going to sort of listen, but they're not going to really take it seriously. Oh, it's Gordon Novell. That's Dan Smith. Nobody really takes it that seriously, and you're dropping stuff into the UFO community through these guys. Because it gives you this plausible deniability thing, and just the story's getting out, whether it's a phony document or a bad witness or whatever it is, you're getting the story out, but you stop the milk from spilling. If you want the cover up to end, if you really wanted something out there, you'd go to the New York Times, you'd go to the Washington Post, it would be out. They're not doing that, they're doing this sort of a half move, and that's why Novell is so important.
Do you think there's a cabal, let's say in Hollywood, that maybe part and parcel of this whole thing, and maybe complicit in some sort of program of dissemination through the development of co-development of scripts with the intelligence agencies, that sort of thing? You've been hearing this for years, that Hollywood is involved in this gradual disclosure process. Now you're saying Spielberg met with Ron Pandolfi twice. That's news to me.
I'll tell you what, we'll have so much more news to come. It's Grant Cameron with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to dreamhost.com/radio, dreamhost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
Are we travels? So much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets, but fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet,
and they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today. The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
As you see, ladies and gentlemen, this subject is so complex. You know, just the sightings themselves is probably the tip of the iceberg because...
Well, you got to know the players and you have to know...
And that's part of the problem of getting disclosure is you need a reporter who's going to spend a year on it, like a Watergate thing, investigation, and nobody inside the media has the time to learn all the stuff that you need to know. And
they got handcuffs on. They have the time. They just can't do it because nobody's going to allow them to do it. It's all controlled.
Yeah, but they still have to do their stories. You basically have like Billy Cox, who's a prime example. He basically says his editor tolerates what he does, but he really can never really grab onto something. He does a story. It has to have a local angle because he's in Florida. Unless it's got a local angle, they don't want to run the story. And there's all these sort of things where the three-day news cycle, you got to do your next story. Some agency has to get really interested in it and realize that they can make some money off this or it's a big story. Most editors, I don't think it's really the cover-up. It's just they couldn't care less. They just think it's, you know, crazy stuff. And it's the type of
so
thing
it's flash that, in the pan. It's just fodder yeah. for
let me give an example. This is a story that you know the story about Webster Hubble was asked by Bill Clinton to go out and find out the answer to two questions: who killed JFK and are there UFOs? And when I filed for FOIA, I filed for the UFO stuff and I got thousands of pages. And when I filed for the JFK assassination stuff at the Clinton Library, they get 7,500 pages. So he asked him to go out and do this kind of stuff. He puts it in his book. 1997 book, Friends in High Places, and Deborah Oren, who works for the New York Post, is the woman who asks the questions the next day at the news conference about this Hubble thing. And she stands up and she says, is it true? Mr. Hubble said that Clinton sent him out to look for the answer to UFOs. Is this true? And he walks around with this this alien thing about this Weekly World News has this alien. So he said, no, we gave it to the alien. That was his job to do. And then she comes back. In an interview later, she describes, I come back with a follow-up question, and he walks around it again. He said, I'm not going to comment on what private people write in their personal books. And she said, I sat there and waited for the rest of the press, White House press corps, for someone to follow up on my question. And they all rolled over and played dead because they were afraid that they were going to lose their White House press credentials. Nobody wanted to ask the stupid question.
Well, maybe that is the pressure right there. That's it. That's the pressure to exert on those who become White House correspondents.
the question usually goes to the junior reporter, who they, like lots of times when I'm asked, you know, by a network or something, you know, you get the girl and she sounds like she's about 23 or 24. And it's like, how did you get stuck with this story? It's like, it's never the main guy. It's never a serious attempt. It's basically some junior reporter who got stuck with the UFO story that nobody else wants to do.
But part of it also is here, we no longer have investigative reporters and investigative
exactly.
journalism. Even someone like Bob Woodward, right now, other than appearing on political talk shows, he basically right now is just somebody who writes these personal puff pieces if they give him enough information. He's not doing investigative reporting.
Yeah. It's this three-day news cycle that we can't break. That everybody's on to the next story, and so you get this sort of a little blurb of a UFO story, and it just dies away.
Yeah, but it's the intensity of the story. Now, look at the events in the movie Day the Earth Stood Still, where a UFO lands in Washington, D.C. in this big park. Now, if that happened in the real world, no three-day news cycle would stop that. It's too obvious.
Yeah.
It's too blatant.
But let me give you another example. Everybody always says to me, you know, when the president stands up and says this thing's for real, then I'm going to believe it. June the 27th, 1981, President Ronald Reagan stood up and said it was for real. Steven Spielberg tells the story. Reagan stands up at the end of the screening of E.T. the Extraterrestrial at the White House. Sandra Day O'Connor is in the room. The CIA director is in the room. Bush is in the room. The NASA head of NASA is in the room. There's two astronauts in the room. There's 39 people in the room. Reagan stands up and at Spielberg's account says he looked around the room like he was doing a head count. And he said, we want to thank you, Steven, for bringing the movie to us. And you should know that there are a number of people in this room that know that everything on that screen is absolutely true. The president stood up and said it was for real. Didn't go anywhere. Nobody picked up on the story. Nobody did anything. Steven Spielberg said, oh, I thought he was joking, even though he wasn't smiling. The story just doesn't get any legs at any point. That you get all these things that you think are going to go. The Medvedev thing with the Soviet. I went after that story. And everybody said, they got into this big argument. Is he telling the truth? Is he not telling the truth? And I said, it's irrelevant. Let's get to the bottom. We've got to get to the reporter. I wrote a letter in Russian to the reporter. And I said, why did you ask the question? Because it indicated that he had answered the question for her before, because he said for the last time. That's how he started the response. And I couldn't get her to respond. But that's what happens is we get a story like the Prime Minister of Russia coming out and saying, yes, we get briefed and there's aliens among us and all this kind of stuff. And the story doesn't go anywhere. Nobody picks up on the story. I try to get the reporter to answer and she's a top reporter for the biggest private network in the Soviet Union. She's the top reporter. So it wasn't a low-level reporter asking the question, and the story just dies. It doesn't go anywhere. I tried to revive the story. I tried to do updates, and nobody could care less after the first day. Everybody was on to the next UFO story and the next thing. What else is new? That's what happens.
What else is new is we're almost out of time. We have a few more minutes left. Chris, are there any more questions left?
I think we pretty much covered the gamut. I was able to condense a lot of questions into a single question. So I think we're pretty good. I was quite amazed that how do you say his name?
Medvedev.
Medvedev. I'm surprised. It did have a resurgence when he actually, came forth with another statement that was commenting about the first statement. And that, to me, was really telling. The very fact that he would even bring it up again, to me, that denoted some seriousness there. I think that there was a joke, obviously, implied, and it was couched in a joke. But I think he was sending a signal there.
Yeah, the encouraging thing about that is the reporter that asked the question – he refers to this Men in Black thing, which was not the Hollywood movie. It was a documentary that network, PEN, had done in the Soviet Union on UFOs. It was called Men in Black. So that's what he's referring to, is the documentary. And Bruce McAbee had described the fact that he had been interviewed by the same network for another UFO documentary. So what I'm hoping that happens is the reason they asked the question was for this new UFO documentary, which I don't know when it'll be out, but we'll see if there's another documentary, and the network actually explains why they asked the question and what the other question was that they asked them.
I think that there was some sort of signal being sent. Maybe he'd been paid off by the production company to do a little pre-publicity or something. I'm not sure, but Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the name Bruce McAbee and the acronym CIA in the same sentence. There's been a little rumbling lately that Mr. McAbee's or Dr. McAbee has had some long-standing ties with the intelligence services and Cayman Tempo and some other potential cutout organizations. It brings to mind the conference in Washington, D.C., I think back in 87, where the whole abduction thing really first burst forth on the ufological community as a major topic of discussion, how that may have been manipulated somewhat. Grant, we got to have you back for another show, man.
Let me just deal with that McAbee, because I think what you're talking about, that's what I said, that there is this interaction between this weird desk at the CIA, this UFO desk. He first got involved in 79, and that was with Kit Green. And Kit Green made this controversial statement to him that there was 15,000 pages of UFO documents when the CIA was saying there was only 1,000, and that sort of backfired. And then Ronald Pandolfi brought him in 83 to speak at the CIA, and McAbee's statement was, well, it was at lunchtime, and it was just a lecture whoever wanted to show up. But there's been all these incidents forever. There's a story about Dick Hall having the phone line put in by the CIA, and he was reporting reports to the CIA through this same thing. He was funneling this stuff that they're interacting. And Bill Moore tells a story. We repeat it in the book that Bill Moore tells a story about J. Allen Hynek, that with the Benowitz thing, that J. Allen Hynek provided Benowitz with a computer.
I'll tell you what, we got to stop it there. We're out of time.
I've never heard that one. I love it.
Oh, we have this. You know what? You just gave us room for another show. The book is called UFOs, Area 51 and Government Informants. Grant, you got a site people can check out?
PresidentialUFO.com.
Very good. And Chris has OurStrangePlanet.com, and we've got ThePowerCast.com. On Twitter, we are ThePowerCast. Grant Cameron, thank you so much for joining us on The Powercast.
Thanks for your interest.
The Powercast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Powercast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.